So the Lord says to Jerusalem, he says, fear not, you will not be put to shame. Don't feel humiliated, you will not be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth, the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. So this is again referring to the punishment of exile. And Hashem says, you know, I know right now it seems like I'm far away from you, but it's kind of like a quarrel between a young couple. You know, the husband, he gets all angry, he slams the door. It doesn't take the husband long. He's like, starts to feel a little foolish, and pretty soon he comes back, and things are okay. And it's just a brief moment. It's a little altercation. Meanwhile, Israel's saying, altercation, brief moment, 2,000 years. 2,000, but to God, 2,000 years, it's a brief moment. The point is not how long the exile will last, but the point is that that the bond between the Lord and Israel is greater. Is like that between a husband and a wife. It's not something that's going to be broken, but it's going to be renewed with compassion, says your Redeemer. Now he gives us another example. He says, okay, forget the husband and wife. Here's another example. Think of it like this. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I had sworn I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. So, in the redemption, when we get to the redemption, the final redemption, there's not going to be any more punishment. There's not going to be any more exile for the Jewish people. It's just like God said, I'm not going to flood the entire earth with water again, and he didn't. And he hasn't. And he's not going to. In the same way, he says, I'm not going to exile you again. Jerusalem is not going to be destroyed again. It won't be. It's interesting. Interesting thing here is maybe your Bible says, for this is like the days of Noah to me. Maybe your Bible says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. Is that what your Bible says?
King James.
Yeah, King James. Okay. But this is like the waters of Noah to me. It depends on how you space the words in Hebrew. The words kimei could be read as kimei, the waters of. Or another spacing could be read as days of, if you read it as one word, like because the word yamim, days, so yamei, days of, ka yamei would be, or actually pronounced more like kimei, would be like the days of. So now here's the question, without looking on your sheet. Which version of the, which reading did our master follow, or did he learn in synagogue?
Days.
No. That's right. And how do we know? Because he uses that phrase. He says, when the Son of Man comes, it will be like the days of Noah. He uses the exact term. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. The mountains may be removed, the hills may shake, my loving kindness will not be removed from you, my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And it goes on, he says, O afflicted one, storm-tossed, not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, your foundations I will lay in sapphires, and I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from fear of oppression. You will not fear from terror. You will not fear from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of the coals and brings out a weapon for its work. I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It's a favorite charismatic mantra. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. I believe in claiming the promises of God like that. That's a good thing to do. But we should also remember, we're talking about Messianic Jerusalem. Or perhaps, Messianic Jerusalem and New Jerusalem. Jerusalem of the world to come. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their vindication is from me, declares God. So that's the end of our oracle. Of course, we had in here the precious stones of New Jerusalem, which are described in Revelation. I have on your sheet for your amusement a parallel passage from Tobit about New Jerusalem or Messianic Jerusalem being built with precious stones. A fun passage from the Talmud from Bava Batra about these precious stones. It's a great story. You should read it. Actually uses the word raka. Gives a little context to that word. And it's one of those stories where the sages had the power to like glare at you and reduce you to a pile of bones. That's always interesting. I've been working on it. Yeah. Why not? I'm building you up to Revelation 21 which is the description of New Jerusalem, which is depicted along these same lines with the foundation stones and the walls and the gates of precious stone and so forth. And then we had that verse where it says, all your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. Right, and so I'm bringing that from John. In John chapter 6, there's an interesting discussion where our master's talking in lofty terms about being the bread that descended from heaven. I am the bread of heaven. I've come from the Father, this sort of thing. And there's some people there that knew him in Nazareth, actually present. And they say, you did not. We know your mom and dad. And we grew up with you. He's using different ways to explain what he's talking about. And one of the ways, one of the arguments he brings is here. He cites this passage. He says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Now, this is in reference to the Messianic era. And everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So I puzzled over this. What is this? How does this answer the objection at all? So this is how I put it together. You shall be taught of God, he says. So he goes on to explain. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. So here's how I would break the argument down. One, it says that in the Messianic age, all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the peace of your sons will be great. Great will be your children's peace. Two, no one has seen the Father. No one can see the Father. So how can Jerusalem's children in the Messianic era be taught by Hashem? All right? Three, in order for the scripture to be filled, one who has seen Hashem must teach Jerusalem's children. Four, therefore the Messiah will have to have, in some sense, had this higher vision of Hashem and learned of the Father in order to transmit and to teach all of Jerusalem's children, all of Israel's children in the Messianic era. Five, the conclusion, therefore, the Messiah must have descended from the Father in This is how I understand his argument in citing this proof text. All right, that's Isaiah in the New Testament tonight. Next week, God willing, we'll back up one chapter into this suffering servant. And that's a lot of material that we'll be looking at.